The Obama administration wants your morning commute to be a lot more efficient.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill, in for Jeremy Hobson. New tailpipe emission standards are in the works. Right now, the government mandates that a typical car get about 30 miles per gallon. But by 2025, the Obama administration is reportedly looking to nearly double that. Negotiations between the White House and U.S. carmakers are heating up. New standards are expected in September. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is with us live to discuss the story. Good morning, Mitchell.
Hi, Adrienne.
So the Obama administration pushed an earlier set of standards right about the time of the auto bailout, looking at 35 miles a gallon or so by 2016. What's the debate about now?
Well, the administration wants to go much higher by the year 2025 to an average of 56 miles a gallon. The administration says it's the only way to reduce America's consumption of foreign oil. This would save billions of barrels and get greenhouse gases down as well. In a word, or maybe two words, the industry's response is it's too expensive. Paul Eisenstein covers the auto industry at thedetroitbureau.com.
They worry that it could raise costs to the point where Americans pull back on the number of cars they buy, and that it could cost, some studies have forecast, hundreds of thousands of jobs.
Well, how realistic, then, is this 56-mile-per-gallon goal?
Well, the politics are definitely interesting. The auto industry fought higher mileage standards for decades, and then it lost a round when they were being bailed out. Now the industry is saying, don't kill us with added costs and, you know, tiny little electric cars we can't sell just when we're off of our deathbed. On the other hand, Europe, Japan, and China are already ahead in fuel efficiency, and to compete, American automakers may have to get to the same levels anyway.
Thanks, Mitchell.
You're welcome.
And now, from driving to sitting stuck in traffic. Later this month, a stretch of LA's 405 freeway will close down for construction. The 405 is one of the busiest freeways in the country. And as Jennifer Collins reports, the shutdown could create a major bottleneck for businesses.
LA's 405 freeway is legendary. Who doesn't remember this?
The white Bronco that you see on the freeway going right on your screen contains O.J. Simpson.
And no movie about L.A. is complete without a monster traffic jam.
And we're just getting word that the 405 southbound has been shut down completely.
But traffic on July 16th will be no fantasy. A 10-mile stretch of the freeway will be closed as part of a billion-dollar construction project to widen the road. And backups all over the city will be epic.
Well, they're calling this Carmageddon.
That's L.A. County Supervisor Zev Yaroslavsky. At a press conference, L.A. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa put it this way.
It will be an absolute nightmare.
It's impossible to predict what the shutdown will cost businesses, but tourists typically spend about $70 million over a weekend. Nancy Sidhu is chief economist at the L.A. County Economic Development Corporation.
Many people who schedule visits to Los Angeles did so 6 months ago. And so they're now hearing about this and saying, ah!
Some local businesses are capitalizing on that panic. Anastasia Roark and friends started the website Carmageddon.com, which lists places to get deals during the shutdown.
Because a lot of businesses were afraid about a lack of business or a lack of traffic of people hunkering down.
Tattoo parlors and restaurants are offering 405 specials. Bars are offering drinks like the Gridlock and the Road Rager. For the rich, there are discount helicopter rides high above the freeway. Roark says there's another option.
We're encouraging people to get out, walk around, and check out your own neighborhood.
Walk. A walk in L.A.
That was Steve Martin in L.A. Story. Angelenos may want to reconsider the whole walking thing. Construction will shut down the freeway again in about a year. In Los Angeles, I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. European markets are inching up. Asian markets are mixed this morning. Yesterday, U.S. markets were closed, but last week was big for investors here. The markets had their best week since March 09. The Dow rose more than 5%.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at Manta.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The president of the electronics company Sharp is looking to move more solar panel production out of Japan. He told the Wall Street Journal the company is planning to follow demand. Here in the U.S., the future of that demand is up in the air. Some federal incentives for renewable energy are set to expire by December. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro reports.
At the Solar Energy Industries Association, Roan Resch says the U.S. gets 20 times more electricity from the sun than it did 5 years ago, and the market's set to double again this year.
Adding somewhere around 33,000 new jobs.
Growth took off 2 years ago when the feds changed a 30% tax incentive to a cash grant and guaranteed loans for large solar projects. Both those measures expire this year, attractive cuts for a tight budget. Resch says that scares investors. David Victor at the University of California, San Diego, says solar companies are stuck between storylines.
On the one hand, they're trying to argue that they're growing really rapidly and a sign that the industry is viable. On the other hand, if the subsidies were removed completely, the industry would collapse. It's a tiny fraction of the energy system.
Some solar subsidies are set to continue, but long-term, the U.S. solar market remains partly cloudy. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And finally, ostriches in New York have gone on an egg-laying strike. According to the Wall Street Journal, there's just not enough sunshine to keep them happy. This is a problem if you sell ostrich eggs to hungry localvores. Apparently, the delay in egg-laying has cost one farmer $150,000. It's also no good if you're a fan of the giant egg, each of which equals two dozen chicken eggs. Super giant omelet, anyone? In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
U.S. companies will spend over $7 billion this year on data servers.
That's going to double in the next 3 years.
So they're looking to spread out those energy costs. The ultimate goal?
How do we make the data center disappear?
I'm Bob Moon. The hidden costs of powering the Internet. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.